This is, oh, wait a minute, just a second. You know, we might as well, you know, this is our regular rehearsal. This is a dress rehearsal of the show we do tomorrow night. How do you do? William, how are you? You're not going to sit there just like that all night, are you? Come on, Will, get into this thing. What do you want? Overtime? This is the regular dress rehearsal of our Tuesday night show. Now, we do this. I'm saving this for a retread. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is murder. Anybody got a pair of pliers? Yeah, well, help me.
Don't stand, my brother.
Go ahead, Larry. Anytime you're ready.
The Petulant Show, starring Bob Hope.
You're all confused, it's life. The target for tonight is fun, and here's Bob Hope, the one who set our course is right.
Oh, thank you so much.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Army Camp Hope telling you soldiers, while we can't show you how to shoulder arms or forward march, if you use Pepsodent, you'll always have a right face and your teeth will never end up in a pivot. I got to explain this.
Now, wait a minute.
I don't know how I found out. I was working in the coal mine there for 3 or 4 minutes.
I've got to explain. Before we go any further, I've got this. Tomorrow night, we're doing our broadcast in the Santa Ana training field. The AVA training field out of Santa Ana. Just
as happy to
all
ages. Get high, everybody. Or, this is Bob Santa Ana Hope telling you that you may lose your cars and you may lose your bicycles, but if you use Pepsodent, you can keep your choo-choos. We have a large kid audience, you know. Or, I have another one. This is Bob Santa Ana Training Station Hope telling you aviators to use Pepsodent, your teeth will never be washed out.
You get that. Of course,
that's not for you civilians. We get it, don't we, fellas? Well, here I am at Santa Ana. Santa Ana, that's a beautiful Spanish phrase, meaning you're my top sergeant now, but wait till this is over. They pick on you, Shorty. Let me know, huh? They gave me a wonderful reception here with a big brass band. At least I thought it was a brass band until the cuspidor started hitting me. And these aviators were glad to see me. The boys all held me high on their shoulders and all backed away and yelled, "Happy landing." I guess they wanted to give me a real Air Corps welcome because as soon as they saw me, they all pressed their lips together and made a noise like an airplane. Gets over, I think. Where are we? I arrived in camp by airplane, and what a cheer went up as I stepped out of that plane. I wonder if they would have cheered so hard if I'd waited till the plane landed. And when all those boys gathered around me, was I thrilled. Something sort of hit me in the throat. It was an MP's elbow. But I want to tell you, all the boys here at Santa Ana are real gentlemen. The other day, there was a crap game going on, and the sergeant came over and told them to put away the dice. And they did it right away. Then they knocked out two of his front teeth and painted dots on them. But I've shot craps with soldiers, sailors, and Marines, but they're nothing like these aviators. One guy was winning so fast, he didn't bother to pull the money in by hand. He just sat there with a vacuum cleaner. You getting the onion? There's really a friendly spirit among the officers and men up here. One platoon saved all their money for 3 months and bought a beautiful mahogany piano for their top sergeant. And you should have seen the surprised look in his face when they hit him over the head with it. And they certainly have a lot of training planes here at Santa Ana. Honestly, there's so many planes flying around in the sky. One sparrow flew to his nest and said, "Try and lay another egg, Agnes. All our neighbors must have quintuplets." You know, they have rigid requirements before you can be an aviator. These fellows have such good eyesight, they can read the letters on a chart at 50 feet, they can see the bullseye on a target at 200 feet, and they can see whether it's a man or woman in the slacks at half a mile. And And the physical exam you get around here is really thorough. In fact, 3 months later, when one cadet complained of being sick, they x-rayed him and discovered 2 missing doctors. He was inside. You know. All these aviators have to have steady nerves and a lot of willpower, so they devised a wonderful test. They sit them in a room and see if they can refrain from clapping while they play Deep in the Heart of Texas. The first thing they do with new pilots is to give them a treat. I give them a test to see if they get dizzy. They put them in a chair that whirls them around for 10 minutes. Then they put a beautiful blonde and an ugly dame in front of them. They go for the ugly dame, they're rejected. They go for the blonde, they're accepted. And if they go for both, they're sent to the Navy. I said, both of them? What's the matter? Huh? We won't do that 2 weeks from tonight, I'll say. I took the test, too. They put me in one of those chairs to spin around. I don't know whether I was scared or not, but the third time around, one of my goose pimples grabbed for the brass ring. I asked them to give me one of those pilot tests. They spun me around and around and around. I won't say I got dizzy, but I made a date with the captain, saluted the nurse, and walked through the window. After they locked you inside one of those whirling test machines for 5 minutes, you're really drunk. W.C. Fields gets in one twice a day with a cherry in his mouth. I'm going to be a killer when television comes in. I'm going to explain all the jokes. And then they took me over with some recruits and let me work the controls in the link trainer. I really tried hard to do everything exactly right. I wanted to be the ace of the place, but when I got out, they called me the stink of the link. How about it, man? Solid? Okay. And boy, they certainly keep training these pilots here all day long. There are planes all around. Wherever you look, somebody was taken off. It reminded me of the time I was marooned in the middle of the runway at Minsky's. And some of these planes... And some of these planes here are pretty fast. This afternoon, one of the pilots was flying his plane toward Los Angeles at an altitude of 10,000 feet, doing 300 miles an hour, and he was passed by a woman driver who was still in second. They said they were going to take me up in a regular plane. I didn't object at all. I didn't say a word. I just lay there unconscious. But I'm not afraid of those big planes. I've got nerves like piano wires. I wish they were more like nerves. Every time I even look at a plane, my nerves play miss you. I think I missed a joke there, too. As I came on the field, a soldier came up and held a queer-looking contraption to his eye and kept peeking at me through it. I said, snap my picture. He said, no, just trying out my new bum sight. And boy, that's it. Yeah. And boy, are those planes made fast. I leaned against a new metal door, and the door said, hello, Hope. I stared at a puzzle, and the door said, don't you recognize me? I'm the shaving cream tube you turned in yesterday. A lot of the boys here are reconnaissance experts. Reconnaissance, that's French for looking first, fellas, and see if her husband's gone. But it was nice of the boys to take me for a spin in a plane, but it's the first one I ever took while tied to the propeller. Gosh, was I nervous. I said to the pilot, do you mind if I bite my nails? And he said, no, go right ahead. Anything to make you stop biting mine. I was really frightened. My teeth were chattering so much, I sang Rose O'Day without even trying. I fixed that up. Still got gum in my fingers here. My teeth were chattering so much, I sang Rose O'Day without even trying. Egg. Boy, did we go up high. The pilot's nose is bleeding, and Skinny Ennis's nose is yelling, I would if I could, but I can't. And was one aviator insulting. When I asked him how you open a parachute, he said, very simple, just count 10, jerk. It's wonderful up there above the clouds, though. There's nothing up there but a few other planes and a couple of guys in jeeps trying to get back to camp before their pass is up. The pilot showed me some stunts, and I guess he shouldn't have. He did an inside turn while my stomach did an outside loop. We went up 10,000 feet, then 20,000 feet. I was so nervous to get myself calmed down, I had to get up and walk it down on the wing for a while. I had to go out and walk up and down on the wing for a while. We were flying along for about 10 minutes. I don't either. We were flying along. Nobody wants it. We were flying along for about 10 minutes. We were flying along. There we were flying. We were flying along for about 10 minutes, and just for fun, I decided to spit down to the ground. You should have told me we were flying upside down. For a joke, I asked the pilot to fly low over Bing Crosby's house and wiggle the landing gear. While we were doing, one of Crosby's kids ran out, looked up and said, "Hey, Paul, there's the stork thumbing his nose at you again." And finally, the pilot made a forced landing. I forced him. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a former member of our cast who left us in, to join Uncle Sam, Private Ben Gaze. There he is.
Well, thanks for the introduction, Bob. Hey, gee, it's swell to be here at Santa Ana.
But, Ben, you're stationed at Camp Hahn. What are you doing way up here?
Followed a blonde.
What? Do what?
Followed a blonde.
We're going to follow an egg right now. Say, Ben, well, did you have anything to follow the blonde? Isn't that an awful thing when you're waiting for a big laugh? I said, oh, this is the smashola. Here we go. I was waiting. I thought, we're on top now. Follow the blonde. Oh, dear doctor. That was an ostrich egg we just got. Flash up the entire audience dropping those things. Say, Ben, did you have anything to do with the reception I received here today?
Oh, sure, Bob. It seems hours before you got here, headquarters flashed the pink alert.
Pink alert?
Yes, that means a big unidentified bag of wind is approaching the area.
Damn it, my finance man is leading the applause out there. You know, watch out, or that big unidentified bag will kick you in an unidentified area. But I'm really glad to welcome you back to our show for this visit, Ben. You look great.
Yeah, the Army's swell. Feel my muscle. I'm as hard as nails.
Yeah, well, feel my muscle. Where do you think I'd fit in best? In the infantry, cavalry, or aviation? Go ahead, feel my muscle.
Okay.
Well?
Have you tried the campfire girls?
What kind? That's a new kind of campfire girl. That's a smaller fire. You cramp it up. Have you tried the campfire? Say, Ben, tell me, after you've been working for me, do you find it any different working for Uncle Sam?
Yeah, people cash my checks now. Yes, sir, it's a pleasure on payday to go around and collect real money.
Are you inferring the money I paid you was counterfeit?
Well, I don't know, Bob, but on the $5 bills I get now, Abe Lincoln is coming out of the White House, not looking out of the window of the Hope residence in Cleveland.
Oh, you should see my $1 bills. George Washington's wig is hanging from my clothesline. But tell me, Ben, has the Army treated you as well as I did?
Have they? Look down here.
Ben, shoes. Get the size of those shoes. Just lift that oar there. Look at that. They just cut the tail off a cow and hung it on him. Look at that. How often do you milk those shoes, old boy?
Look at those things. They're beautiful things.
You'd be much more comfortable in the boxes. Where are we? So you really like the Army, huh, Ben?
Well, it was funny, Bob. When I was working for you, you were my boss, and I had to say yes to you all the time and tell you were great and how wonderful you were and all that stuff. Then I joined the Army, and I said, at last, I'm through with all that.
And what happened?
Well, then I found out about a second lieutenant.
Why? You're doing fine. You just got a business.
You're at bat.
Oh, by the way, Bob, I want to thank you for those lovely socks you knitted for me. They fit perfectly. Where'd you get my size?
Oh, I just knitted them around a pair of tennis rackets.
And, Bob, I think it was very nice of you to knit that sweater, but it kind of hurts me when I wear it.
That sweater I knitted hurt you when you wear it?
Yeah, there must be some better way to finish it, Bob. I don't think you're supposed to leave it like that on the needles.
Why not? It keeps you warm and tattoos you at the same time.
You know, since I've been in the Army, I wake up at 5:45 every morning.
Really? Well, why don't you try Ovaltine? But, Ben, tell me, what's Army life like?
Well, Bob, you ought to know what it is to live in a tent.
What do you mean?
Well, did Paramount give you a better dressing room?
No, I'm still in the manhole.
Say, Bob, I heard a peculiar rumor. Of course, I don't believe it, but I heard that soldiers like to shoot crap.
No. What a vicious rumor. Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't true, although I have heard of one regiment that shot crap so often that they had the only soldiers in the Army who'd stand at attention in a kneeling position.
You know, but they treat me swell at Camp Hahn.
They do, huh, Ben?
Wonderful, Bob. After all, I'm a radio name. I can get off anytime I want to, go out with girls every day, get back to camp 6 hours late, and really, the guardhouse isn't so bad.
Well, I'm glad you like it in the Army, Ben. Tell me, what do you do at the camp in the evening?
Well, part of the time we sit around and think about girls.
Well, what do you think about the rest of the time?
Women.
See, just like musicians, huh? I mean, civilians. I'm sorry. What was that?
But what I like best about Army life is that drilling and marching. Marching and drilling, hour after hour. Marching, marching, marching. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I don't understand. It's been raining all week, and he's got a sunstroke.
Honestly, Bob, we really love drilling. And another thing you've got wrong about Army life is the officers. Gee, I love my top sergeant. And the MPs are swell. And the most likable guy I ever met is my second lieutenant.
But some guys won't do to get a 6-hour pass. But I've got some news for you, Ben. You know, Skinny Ennis is with the draft board now.
Ennis with the draft board? Does he work there?
Well, not exactly work, Ben. He just sits there all day under a big sign that says, if you look like this, don't bother.
Well, Bob, the real reason I'm here tonight is that I heard your guest is going to be a beautiful actress.
Oh, no, she's just some plain little girl I found under a pinball machine. No one interesting. So you can go now.
But I'm sure your guest must be a beautiful actress.
No.
You're loaded with sense.
Ben, my guest tonight is an ugly little girl, so please leave.
No, I'm staying till I meet her.
Well, then I guess I'll have to push you away. Let that be a lesson to you and pick me up.
Listen, Bob, I know Rita Hayworth is here tonight.
Well, you're right, Ben. Rita Hayworth is here tonight. You know, Ben, I've been wondering about her salary.
Well?
Just how much do you think I should pay her? In other words, what's hay worth? Don't you get it? Don't you get it? I said, what's hay worth?
Sorry, Hope. The government pays me to shoot Jap, not laugh at Sap.
Quiet, Private, or you'll soon hear Tap.
You know,
Burma egg.
You know, Bob, when I first left my job as an announcer on this program and entered the Army, I had lots of trouble.
How so?
Well, my tent mates said they didn't mind when I kept them awake nights by talking in my sleep, but for goodness sake, would I please cut out those Pepsodent commercials?
Why, that's silly. Whatever made you talk about Pepsodent in your sleep?
I had to. It said so in the contract you gave me.
In your contract, too?
Not you, Larry.
And then we're into it, see? Now,
yes.
Now, tell it. Now, little fiddle and cello.
A Pepsodent 50-tuft toothbrush gives you twice as many tufts in a small, compact head. Tufts that are now improved with sturdier, more durable nylon bristles for double-power cleansing. Go buy a Pepsodent 50-tuft toothbrush for every member of your family. Remember, you get a valuable cash certificate with 10 cents in extra spending money with every one you buy. Protect that attractive smile of yours. Get several Pepsodent 50-tuff brushes tonight.
Here's Francis Langford and the Six Hits and a Million singing the mix. Singing South American Way.
Hi, have you ever danced in the tropics? In the hazy, lazy, like kind of crazy, like South American way. Hi, 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 have you ever kissed in the moonlight? In the grand and glorious, gay, notorious South American way. Aladdin's scheme of love is like a dream of love. Aladdin's dream of love is in their veins. They'll buy a jewel for you, a fight a duel for you, a drive a mule for you across the plain. Hi, 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 there's a melody in their music. While the gauchos sing it, come on and swing it the South American way. Hi, are losing your morale, let your heart be free. Oh, there's a dusky, dark-eyed gal waiting for you down in Rio. Oh, ho, ho, it's free in Rio. And you girls that write to Dorothy Dix about your love affairs, the gentlemen there know all the tricks. Down in Buenos Aires, it's Tina in Argentina. And if your mother-in-law nags you silly, you forget to nag in Chile. And if your Uncle Joe is sponging on you, you can find a sponge down in Peru. It's heaven on earth. It's your money's worth. I. There's a melody that is gay and free in their music. While the gauchos sing it, come on and swing it. If you lonely hurry, you'll lose every worry.
Langford and the Six Hits and the Miss singing South American Way. Did they join us? What happened to them? Where were they? They in that game again? What is that for, Bob? The Pan-American relations thing?
Pan-American Day, Bob.
When is that? Tomorrow?
14, tomorrow.
That's what we got to put that in the script. Pan-American Day, brother. I am playing Rio any day. Lowe's Rio. I make it a hot week. It's real, low as real. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present to you the alluring star of Carnival in Rio and my gal, Sal, Miss Rita Hayworth.
Hey! Thank you, Mr. Hope.
Mr. Hope, wait a minute, Rita. No one around here calls me Mr. Hope.
I know, but I wouldn't dream of calling you what they do.
You mean Bob.
But thanks for that lovely introduction. And, Bob, you ought to thank the soldiers for all the applause they just gave you.
Look, Rita, it wasn't for me. The soldiers started cheering the minute they saw you.
Oh, don't be silly, Bob. Why would those soldiers want to look at me? They'd much rather listen to you than look at me.
You didn't come all the way from Long Beach to louse me up, did you? Come on, Rita, we gotta read the line over, please.
Read it again.
Why, don't be silly, Bob.
Anyway, read it any way long.
Don't be silly, Bob. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
Why would those soldiers want to look at me? No,
all right. No, that's all right.
That's right.
Sure. Want to look at me.
They'd much rather listen to you than look at me.
Are you kidding? Then you let it go. Paul, Rita, to these boys, you're like a six-day furlough, while I'm just another plate of beans. Oh, God.
Bob, stop looking at me from head to toe like that.
Well, maybe I did give you a casual glance.
Casual glance? No one has been covered that thoroughly since D.D. Eyes put Dick Tracy in hot paraffin.
You know, Rita, I could go for you.
I could tell you where, too.
You were my sponsor. But, Rita, I want to welcome you to the Pepsi Show. All these fellas in uniform here in our audience are the men of the Santa Ana Army Air Corps.
I'm very glad to be here. Well, what's cooking?
The men of the Santa Ana Army Air Corps.
Are all these men flyers?
Well, if they weren't, they are now.
Well, you know, I'm certainly glad to be here at Santa Ana, Bob, among all these young men, and you.
I'm not old. I'm just prematurely wrinkled.
Bob, you know, you should do something about your posture. You don't look very mannish.
What do you mean, I don't look mannish?
Well, when you and I walked through the camp this afternoon, a soldier saw us, then turned to his friends and said, "Why is it, fellas, every time a pretty girl comes to this camp, she has an UGG for a girlfriend?"
Well, that guy should have his eyes examined. The nerve of him calling you an UGG.
No fooling, Bob. You should stand straight like these soldiers. Then you wouldn't look so fat.
Wait a minute, Rita. Why is it every time a girl compares me with a soldier, she tries to make people believe I have a large tummy? I tell you, I have a military bearing.
Yes. But what good's a military bearing with a civilian crankcase?
Well, I may have changed a little in the last couple of years, but people still tell me I have oomph.
Well, don't forget, the meaning of oomph changes, too. A few years ago, a man with a lot of charm and good looks had oomph.
Well, what does a man need now to have oomph?
4 good tires and a pound of sugar.
Now, Rita, I want you to look at me carefully and tell me how much oomph I've got. Tell me, what percent oomph am I?
Well, Bob, I give you a round figure, but I see you already have one.
Come on, Rita. Tell me how much oomph I've got.
Bob, must we discuss shortages?
Look at my nose and say that again.
Yeah, this is a lovely camp, Bob. You were a little late getting down here, weren't you?
Yes, I had to take it easy on my tires.
Are your tires bad?
Bad. My tread is softer than the officer of the day creeping up in a crap game.
You know, I thought we had a very nice trip up here in your car.
Yes, it was. I don't want to mention this, Rita, but you haven't thanked me for driving you up.
Aren't you satisfied with just getting paid for it?
I have a good mind to give you back your money.
Why don't you?
I have a good mind.
You know, this is really a wonderful camp, but Bob, I still don't know. How did I ever get on your program?
Well, you signed a contract, that's how.
Yeah. It was pretty clever of you asking me for my autograph during the blackout.
You'd be surprised how many cosigners I get that way.
But, you know, I really wouldn't miss appearing on this program for the world. I'm here tonight because of a very sentimental reason, Bob. Because the salary you offered me reminded me of a picture I made.
Oh, really? Which one was that?
You'll Never Get Rich. Yeah. Incidentally, I hope that check you gave me is good.
Oh, of course the check is good. I got plenty of money in the bank.
You have?
Sure, listen. That's not including what I got in my shoe. But tell me, Rita, have you looked around Santa Ana yet?
Santa Ana? Sounds like Santa Anita. What's happening at Santa Anita these days?
Well, yesterday afternoon at 3:30, one of Crosby's horses were 6 laps ahead of the Japs. Where are you going, buddy? Go ahead. All right. Tell me, where were we? But Santa Ana here is a camp where they teach army men how to fly.
Where do they teach sailors how to fly?
Oh, you don't have to teach sailors how to fly. You just tell them it's Saturday night and then step out of their way.
Gee, I think these aviators are sweet, Bob. You know what I did? When I got here this morning, I promised to kiss the one who flew the highest. I wonder who did fly the highest.
Oh, I don't know, Rita. I wasn't the least bit interested. And besides, my nose started bleeding at 80,000 feet.
You know, one of the aviators took me for a ride this morning, and gosh, it was exciting. We did barrel rolls and power dives and loop-de-loop. Every minute, I thought I was going to fall out.
Did you keep that up very long?
Not very long. A wheel came off the jeep. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun here, Bob. Did you see me when I went into the kitchen and helped one of the boys on KP cook the potatoes for dinner? I worked with him all afternoon.
Yeah, Rita, I don't think you should have.
Why not?
Well, that's the first time I ever saw boiled potatoes served by a baked KP. You know, these flyers will go into all branches of service when they leave here, Rita. Some of them may even become ferry pilots like Skinny Ennis.
Why, I never knew that.
What does that mean? You fellas are way ahead of the script. You know that, right? I get your point. I know what you mean. Honest to God, I didn't see it till now. Fairy pilot. Are you a fairy pilot? Maybe the biggest laugh there tomorrow night. You know that. Sorry, pilot. The whole audience is going to fly right out.
Oh, flamingo.
Let's knock it. Rita, where were we?
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Well, he's like a fairy pilot.
Planes over the ocean?
Well, no, Skinny doesn't exactly ferry planes over the ocean. Skinny helps pigeons across puddles.
By the way, where is Skinny?
Oh, Skinny Sailor cut the cuffs off his pants, and the last we heard, Skinny was flying due west over Glendale.
See, Bob, you're always taking cracks at Skinny, and you say he's breathless and lifeless. I can't understand it.
Well, thanks for sticking up for me, Rita. I'm Skinny Ennis.
Now I understand. But just the same, Bob, to take all his kidding, Skinny must have plenty of backbone.
Oh, you're right, Rita. Skinny's backbone is just as straight and as stiff as a piece of damp Kleenex. But, Rita, how about a little interview? I'm sure the soldiers would like some information about you.
All right. What's the first thing they'd like to know?
What are you doing tonight, babe? But, Rita, you're at Columbia Studios, aren't you?
Yeah, Bob. And are you still working over Tamar?
That's right.
So they lost their case, huh?
Why, Rita, I'm one of Paramount's biggest moneymakers. I've got the printing press right in my dressing room. What have you been doing in the way of pictures lately?
Oh, I recently made a picture called You'll Never Get Rich with Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire? Oh, yes, I had him over to my house the other evening.
You had Fred Astaire over to your house?
Sure, if you don't believe me, I'll show you the footprints on the ceiling. But, Rita, isn't it tough to dance with Fred Astaire in all those difficult routines?
Well, I come from a dancing family. My folks are very fast on their feet.
Yeah, we used to have trouble with the finance company, too.
Well, anyway, Fred Astaire is certainly a wonderful dancer. You know, he can do old-fashioned waltzes and modern jitterbug dances equally as well.
Well, so can I.
Yeah, but he doesn't do them both at the same time. But Fred really is a great tap dancer.
Well, I have a very novel tap dancing routine myself right now because of my water on the knee. It's very novel.
Because of your water on the knee?
Yeah, I just add a few flakes of Lux, and I'm the only dancer in the country who can tap himself a bubble bath.
Bob, I don't think you're graceful enough to be a dancer.
Well, you're wrong. Why, I look a little too graceful.
What do you mean?
Why, when I walk down Hollywood Boulevard, I have to be very careful the type of slacks that I wear. But I always thought that you were... The same joke. But I always thought that you were graceful, Rita, until the other night at the Palladium. As soon as we got out on the floor, you kicked me four times.
Well, they were playing Deep in the Heart of Texas, and you were holding my hand.
Yes, but you were out of rhythm. Besides, Fred Astaire, you've had Tyrone Power for your leading man, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Bob.
Well, you know, Rita, there's no difference between Tyrone Power and myself, outside of the fact he works for 20th Century.
Bob, working for 20th Century isn't the only difference. You see, he was born in it, too. Yeah.
Can I help it? The sort that brought me like minuets. But I can't understand, Rita. Why do you prefer Tyrone Power to me?
Well, Bob, why should a girl be satisfied with a Lynx trainer when she can have the B-19?
Well, tell me, Rita, what's your favorite quality in a man?
Permanence, Bob. I mean a man who always loves him. You know, Bob, no woman likes to wake up some morning and find she's been suddenly tossed away like an old toothpaste tube.
Rita.
Oh, I forgot. I mean, no woman likes to wake up some morning and find she's been taken down to the drugstore and traded in for a new one.
Plus 25 cents.
25 cents.
Unless you want the giant size, that's more. But, Rita, it might surprise you to know that I was supposed to appear in that picture you made with Jerome Power, all about bullfighting.
Oh, you mean Blood and Sand?
Yes, I was supposed to appear in that.
Yes, I know you were, Bob. But they figured for $5 more, they might as well get a real bull.
And after I'd bought those horns and everything. You know, Rita, I really used to be a bullfighter. I remember on my uncle's farm, I used to take a red cape and fearlessly wave it in front of one of those big brutes. I wasn't afraid of anything. I'd run right out in front of the powerful animal waving that red cape, and I'd do it again and again until my uncle finished milking it.
Milking it? Bob, that wasn't a bull. That was a cow.
I'm telling you, that was a bull.
But, Bob, you can only get milk from a cow. Bulls won't give milk.
Well, get the War Production Board on the phone. We can't have any loafers in this country. By the way, Rita, you saw my latest picture. What did you think of my performance in My Favorite Blonde?
Oh, Bob, I thought that was wonderful. Acting?
Why do I hire guest stars who can't read my handwriting?
No, but seriously, Bob, I thought you were swell in My Favorite Blonde with Madeline Carroll. I wish you'd make your next picture with me.
Really?
Yes. I think that in times like these, all of us girls should bear the burdens equally.
What do you mean, burden? Madeline really enjoyed making that picture with me. She used to ask me to rehearse and rehearse those love scenes.
And did you rehearse them?
Yes, and I got to know her standing very well.
You know, Bob, when I visited the set, when you were actually making those love scenes, Madeline, and I noticed one very ridiculous thing about your costume. You were wearing a big, heavy charm bracelet.
Oh, that wasn't a charm bracelet. When Maddie and I weren't making love scenes, they let me carry the chain around with me.
Making love scenes with Madeline. See, that makes you a first-degree star, doesn't it?
Yeah, first-degree star with second-degree burn.
You know, to act with you, Bob, your leading ladies don't have to take dramatic lessons.
Oh, no?
No. All they have to do is go see the short on how to put out a firebomb.
Yeah, they often have to carry me away in a bucket of sand.
Say, Bob, who's that tall, handsome man in the uniform over there?
Oh, that's Ben Gage. He used to be the announcer on this show.
Used to be the announcer? Oh, didn't you pick up his option?
Well, I wanted to, but Uncle Sam beat me to it. Now Ben's a private at Camp Hahn.
So he left the show to go in the Army?
Yeah, he wanted more money.
He must be in the Signal Corps.
In the Signal Corps? What makes you think so? Oh, I see. Ben, stop winking at her. I think you started her, Rita.
Well, maybe I did wink at him a little bit.
Wink at him a little? Listen, if you'd wink any harder, you'd have whipped yourself to death with your own eyelashes.
Gee, he's a tall soldier, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really tall. When he kneels down in a crap game, they make him kneel down again.
And I like blondes.
Oh, Ben isn't a real blonde.
Isn't he?
No, it's just that he's so tall when he runs under orange trees, the juice stays in his hair.
Gee, he's so big and so handsome.
Listen, Rita, I'm just as handsome as Ben Gage, and I'm just as tall, too.
Of course you're just as tall. And don't you think you're being too careful about your rubber heels wearing them inside your shoes?
Those aren't heels. When I'm not dressed formal, I fold my spats up and put them in there.
No, I'd like to meet Mr. Gage, Bob.
Oh, you wouldn't be interested. He comes from a very poor family. Not only that, but there's a streak of insanity in it, too.
Well, bring him over. Any brother of yours is a friend of mine.
Say, Bob, how about introducing me?
Okay, Rita, Ben Gage. Ben, Rita Hayworth. Well, see you later, Ben.
Please wait a minute, Mr. Gage.
Oh, Rita, why don't you call me Ben?
All right, Ben. That's such a lovely name, Ben.
Yeah, I like it, too. You know, ever since I was a kid, I've been called Big Ben.
Yes, his mother was frightened by an alarm clock.
So you're Ben Gage.
My Rita.
My soldier.
My darling.
My exit. Look, Benjamin, Miss Hayworth and I want to be alone. Go away. We were having an interesting conversation.
I don't think it was interesting.
Look, Rita, who's paying you for appearing here tonight?
Nobody. You told me this was a benefit.
Well, that's right. I wanted you here for my benefit.
Gee, Mr. Gage, you have such nice, curly hair.
Well, I have nice, curly hair, too.
Bob. Bob, don't take off your shirt.
Gosh, and I spent 3 hours with a curling iron, too.
Gee, Rita, it's funny the way we met here tonight. Almost as though someone had planned it.
Yes, we seem to be brought together by fat.
Rita, look at your script. That's fate.
Look who introduced us. That's fat.
Gosh, you're the sweetest thing I ever laid eyes on, with those big lashes and gorgeous hair.
Oh, I don't know.
Wait a minute, I was talking to Rita.
Well, how can I tell from what you said? Look, Ben, go away. Rita and I were talking. Get out of here, scram.
Listen here, Spear Snoot.
I wish I'd put you behind a pole.
Hey, take it easy. You're not my boss anymore, Small Fry. You're speaking to a representative of the United States Army. Private Ben, call me Dreamboat Gage.
Boy, what I'd give to be a sergeant for just about 2 minutes. Now, Ben, none of your lip. Why, if you didn't have that uniform on, you know what I'd do.
No, what would you do if I didn't have that uniform on?
Get your bathrobe.
Tell me, Ben, how did you happen to join the Army?
Well, Rita, I guess my heart just made me do it.
Gee, Bob, his heart made him do it.
Yeah, the doctor listened to us for a minute and said, brother, you're in. Now, come on, Rita. Never mind, Ben. Let's get on with our little talk. Tell me, how do you like Santa Anna?
Gee, Ben, I could go for a fellow like you. You're so cute.
Yes, it is a nice town. And what do you think of the airfield here?
Such broad shoulders, so tall, so handsome. You thrill me.
Oh, yes, they do have a lot of planes. Did you go for a ride in one?
Oh, just standing close to you, Ben, sensing your manly presence. I feel as if I'd like to melt in your arms.
Anybody want to read my lines?
Darling, I used to dream about you nights at camp until that mean top sergeant made me cut it out.
Well, how could you? Well, how could your top sergeant know who you were dreaming about?
Well, he doesn't know exactly, but if you have a pleasant look on your face, he comes over and wakes you up.
All right, Ben, for the last time, you can go now.
Oh, all right, I'll leave. Goodbye, Miss Hayworth.
Goodbye, Ben.
Goodbye, Rita. Well, back to a cold tent. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, how about going out with me tonight?
Just remember that you've got a date with me tonight, Rita.
Says who? Listen, Bob, you better forget all about that date because Rita and I are going steppin', and there's no ifs or buts or maybes about it, see?
And Columbia Pictures think they got the invaders.
No, I think I'd better go with Ben. Anyhow, Bob, if you take me to dinner, I won't get home till late.
Oh, Rita, you know me. I'll take you right home.
Yes, but when you pay the waiter, it'll take at least 2 hours before you count out the Raleigh coupon.
Well, I guess Rita goes with me.
Just a minute. I'll toss a coin, and whoever wins takes Rita out. Here it goes. Call it, Ben.
Heads.
It's tails. I win.
Let me see that nickel. There's a buffalo on each side of it. What happened to the Indian?
He was drafted. Listen, I had a date with Rita first, and I'm going.
Yeah? Well, I got this fist that says you don't.
Well, I got this fist that says I do.
This fist says you don't.
This fist said I do. Of course, if you're going to use big words...
Sorry, Bob, but it's more patriotic to go out with somebody in a uniform.
Well, Ben, you'll have to lend me your uniform. Step behind the screen with me while I change.
Well, if you insist. Here's the coat and here's the pants.
Are you in the uniform, Bob?
Yeah, Rita, I'm now a military man. Pants feel too tight, Ben. I'll see if I can bend over. I'm now a military secret. Let's quit arguing, Rita. You'll have to settle this. Which one of us do you want to go out with tonight?
Well, I feel very gay this evening, and I'd like to go someplace really nice. So, I'll go out with whichever one of you will spend the most money.
About how much money?
Oh, $50 or $60.
Well, Ben, have a good time. Thank you, Rita. And here is Skinny Ellis for the 6th of this, singing the Army Air Corps March. Take it, boy.
We go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun.
Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give us a gun.
Down we dive, starting our plane from under. Off with one hell of a roar.
We live in fame or go down in flames. Nothing will stop the Army Air Corps. Those who love the vastness of the
Off we go into the wild sky yonder.
Keep the waves level and true.
If you'd live to be a gray-haired wonder,
keep your nose up in the blue.
Flying men guarding the nation's border, we'll be there followed by more.
In echelon we carry on, that's the Army Air Corps.
I was shooting at us for 6 hits and a miss singing the Army Air Corps song. And here is Mr. Keating. Hello, Mr. Keating.
How do you do, Mr.
Go away. Start the next spot. Okay, all right.
Once again, we resume our reading of Bob Hope's story of his life, They Got Me Covered. Bob and his friend, Skinny Ennis, have just enlisted in the Army Air Corps. Bob goes to the air training school at Santa Ana, and after months of intensive training under the watchful eye of his superior officer, he makes his first jump from an airplane at a height of 2,000 feet.
Great work, Hope. Next time, I'll let you try it with a parachute.
Life at the aviation school is a long round of endless excitement for our two young cadets. On their first day as flyers, one of those really dramatic moments occurs.
Oxygen, Bob. Give me oxygen, more oxygen.
Here you are, Skin. Now, come on, let's get in the plane.
And so life at Santa Ana goes merrily on for our two happy characters. And now as our scene opens, we find the two lads fast asleep in their barracks, enjoying their well-earned rest.
I don't mind reveille, but this is ridiculous.
Bob, what time is it?
Time to get up.
Yeah, but Bob, it's pitch dark outside. Nobody gets up in the middle of the night.
Is this your first trip to an army camp, bud?
Hey, Bob, you always sleep without any pajamas?
Of course not.
And I guess I didn't do so well in that crap game last night.
Well, come on, hurry up. I'm almost dressed.
Hey, you look swell, Bob. You got a real army physique from the bottom up.
Honest, Skin, you think I got a real army physique? You could have something there. You really think I got an army physique from the bottom up, huh?
Yeah, Bob, the only guy I ever saw with a khaki girdle.
See, just think, Skinny, tonight we got dates with Rita Hayworth and Francis Langford. See, Rita Hayworth, when we go out tonight, I hope we get caught in a blackout.
Hey, gosh, Bob, why on earth would you want to be caught in a blackout with Rita Hayworth?
Take a good look at them, fellas. Next week, I'm sending them back to Ripley.
Gee, Bob, I can't believe it tonight we got a date with two beautiful girls like Rita Hayworth and Frances Langford. I just can't believe it. Hey, pinch me and see if I'm dreaming.
Okay.
Ouch!
Hey, Ennis, now pinch me to see if I'm dreaming.
Why?
When I pinched you, I thought I felt flesh.
Hey, just think, Bob. I'm going out with Frances Langford and Rita Hayworth. Maybe Frances will sit on my lap, and maybe Rita will give me a kiss. And just thinking about it starts my circulation flying. Doggone it, my corpuscle got off the beam.
I can't wait to go out, Skin. You know I'm becoming a real ladies' man.
Yeah, Bob, that gorgeous blonde went the other night in a big way, didn't she?
Blonde?
Yeah, you know the one with the very heavy foreign accent.
Yeah, I wonder what she could see in me, just a simple soldier in charge of the bomb site. Anyway. But anyway, we're the two luckiest soldiers of this camp, Skin, getting those dates tonight. And besides, we can get all the 6-hour passes we want. We just ask for them and they'll hand it out to us.
Yeah, but this can't go on forever, Bob. Someday we got to let the general out of that refrigerator. That icebox is freezing over.
Okay, we'll let the general out, but that MP stays until another place freezes over.
Hey, I want to get all dressed up to meet these gals. I think I'll wear my medal for sharpshooting.
I got one of those, too.
How'd you ever get one?
Well, I did some sharpshooting, 7 passes in a row.
Bob, I'm talking about shooting with something that's loaded.
How'd you think I hit 7 passes? Ken, let's get out of camp right away and go over and see those girls. I'm so excited. You know, I had a date with Rita before. I even kissed her.
Hey, did she kiss hard?
That was the first time I had ever outspin my pivot tooth.
Hey, look, Bud. Bob, here comes that tough sergeant from the next tent.
Uh-huh. Hey, is Bob Hope in here? Oh, sorry. I didn't know this was a hospital tent.
Oh, this is...
this isn't a hospital tent. That's Skinny Ennis.
Oh, burial detail, huh?
That's the start. Don't bother us now. Skinny and I have a date with Rita Hayworth and Francis Langford.
Don't make me laugh.
Why not?
I'm wearing a cheap girdle.
But it's true. We do have a date with them.
Well, well. So the two mama's boys think they're going out with girls.
Listen, we've taken enough of your lip, and things are going to be different from now on. You see my fist? And you see Ennis's fist?
Yeah, I see your fist, and I see Ennis's fist.
You think we need manicures?
Yeah. Now, listen. You fellas ain't going out. I'm putting you both on KP again.
Oh, no, you don't. I got a date today, see? And if you lay a finger on me, I'll fill you full of lead. I'll take my gun and shoot you full of holes. String you up the tree, beat your head in with the butt of my gun. Stick my bayonet right through your gizzard and... Hey, somebody else finished reading this stuff. I think I'm going to faint.
Now, Hope, have you anything to say?
I leave my pal alone. Hey, watch me waiting at this guy, Bob.
Get out of the way, Skin. You don't have to fight my battles for me. I can take care of this guy myself.
Oh, yeah?
Well, Skinny, it might be good exercise for you at that. Take it.
Okay, here I go. Get this, Sarge. I've taken enough of your lips, see? And I bet if I wanted to, I could bash in your skull. And I bet I could beat you bloody and tear you to bits.
Go on, let me see you try.
Oh, shucks, can't we just keep this on a theoretical basis?
Wait a minute, Bud. Skinny's my pal, and I'll stand up for him. I'll get up and fight for him if I have to. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Then I said it too loud.
Now you guys get this straight. You're not going out of this camp. Rita Hayworth don't want any part of you, Muggs. I'm going to have that date with her. Remember that old proverb, only to the brave belong the fair. And I think I'm fair, don't you?
You're the fairest. Come on, Skin. We don't have to worry about this guy.
Yeah, let's leave right away and meet the girl.
Okay, just a second. I want to smell good, Skin. I'm going to put 5 cents in this perfume machine. I want to smell real nice tonight.
Better put another nickel in, Bob. Your shoes are still dry.
That's okay. I polished them with scent then. You know, how are we going to sneak out of camp?
Well, I had a good idea when I sneaked out of camp yesterday, Bob. I buttoned a gopher in my uniform, and he marched for me. Yeah, but I ain't going to let that gopher march for me anymore.
Why not?
Oh, the fellows have been coming around my tent all morning and pestering me. They want to see my tail again.
Hey, quick, Skin. The sentry isn't looking. Let's run right past him.
Hey, come on, Bob. Now we have to cross this busy street. Gosh, traffic is sure heavy. There are a lot of woman drivers. I guess we better cross it in our usual fashion. All ready? Let's go.
Well, we made it, Skin. Now we can take our blindfolds off. Come on. We better start walking to where I told the girls to meet us.
Oh, they're meeting us on a street corner?
Skinny Ennis, do I look like the type whose breeding is so low that I'd meet girls on street corners? I'm ashamed of you. Now, come on, hurry up and we'll go to meet the girls before I forget the address of the pool room where they're waiting.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Bob. You know, these girls are different from the ones we used to be going out with.
You mean we can't wear our fatigue suits?
Bob, look. There's a sidewalk photographer. I think he wants to take our picture.
Step right up, soldier. Step right up. I am Professor Colonna, photographer, camera fiend, expert on composition, lover of beauty, and world-famous artist. Also, we'll paste your girlfriend's face on pictures from Esquire.
Don't I never do this. How long have you been a photographer?
Oh, for a very long time, Hope. I never told you this before, but I took pictures 5 years before I was born.
Colonna, you're crazy. How could anyone take pictures 5 years before they were born?
The druggist said he'd wait for me.
Well, listen, Skinny and I would like to have our pictures taken. How much do you charge?
Oh, just send in this card and give me the 25 cents in cash.
Well, don't you send the quarter into the company?
Well, you do that most times, but I'm crooked.
All right, now, come on, Professor. Take our picture.
Okay, look at the birdie.
I don't see any birdie.
Yeah, it must have gone back to the White Cliffs of Dover. Oh, no, here it is. Now, Hope, watch the birdie. Watch the birdie. What do you know? The birdie is jealous of your beak. Now, look at the birdie again. Oops, too late. You'll have to wait 59 minutes now to look at the birdie.
Colonna, why must I wait 59 minutes to look at the birdie?
I use a cuckoo clock. Now, stand still, Hope. I want to take a picture.
Well, I don't want you to, and I got a right not to have my picture taken.
I've never seen anyone with a better right. But, Hope... to prove I'm a good photographer, I'll show you this picture I took of my wife. There.
Gee, that's a swell picture of your wife, but who's that stranger kissing her?
Oh, don't worry about that stranger. I paid him for his share of the picture. He made it. Sure.
Kelowna, I'm warning you. I'm going to fly in a tantrum.
Okay, but a P-38 is faster.
Hey, come on, Professor, and take our picture.
Just a minute. I've got another customer. I have to step over here and take a picture of this kangaroo. Now, listen here, Mrs. Tang. When I snap this picture, you must stand perfectly still. That's it. There. Darn it. It's ruined again.
But if the kangaroo stood perfectly still, how could the picture be ruined?
Kid keeps sticking his head out of the bag. Come on, kid, get out of there.
Professor, why does the kid have to get out of there?
Well, I've rented some office space in this pouch.
You mean you work in that kangaroo's pouch?
Yes, wonderful dark room. Come here, kangaroo, I want to open up the office. I wonder who left the lights on.
Professor, don't tell me you're going to climb in that kangaroo's pouch.
Sure, well, here I am.
Kelowna, Kelowna.
Just call me Hopalong Cassidy.
Oh, Kelowna, you turned me against you.
No, I'd rather dance with the girl. I hope I'm ready to take your picture. I'm going to take a very cute kitty picture of you sitting on this horsey hob.
No, Kelowna, you mean hobby horse.
No, horsey hob.
Hobby horse.
Horsey hob.
Hobby horse.
Horsey hob, hobby horse. What difference does it make? I sold it to Crosby anyway.
Oh, Kelowna, hold your tongue.
No, you hold my tongue. Only one end is loose anyway. Now, if you won't pose on my horsey hob, I have a real pony here for you. I like the way this pony's been acting lately, Hope. I think I'll pit it.
Well, no, Kelowna, you mean you'll patter.
Pitter,
patter,
pitter,
patter,
pitter,
patter.
Giddy up, Napoleon. Looks like rain.
Hey, Kelowna, hurry up and take our pictures. We got a date.
Okay, I'll take a quick picture of you two boys. Now, look right at the loon.
Oh, Kelowna, you mean look right at the lens.
No, I'm talking to the camera. Look right at the loon. Ah, there it is. Now I think I'll develop this picture.
Well, do you always put a black cloth over your head when you develop pictures?
No, sometimes I just wear my hair like Veronica Lake. Well, I shall mosey back to my photography studio now. You boys come around later and pick up your pictures.
Okay, come on, Bob. We got to see Rita and Frank.
Well, here's the house again. I'll ring the bell. Gee, I wonder what the two girls will say when they see us.
Me too.
Well, hello, girls. Here we are, all dressed up and ready for some excitement. Who wants to kiss me? Well, who wants to sit on my lap? Who wants to hold my hand? Anybody got a good book?
Rita, this is Bobby and Skinny. This? These? You mean this is our date? Rita, remember, this is war. I know, but this is murder.
Relax, Luscious. I'm just like moss. I'll grow on you.
Yeah. Do I look like the north side of a tree trunk?
I don't know. Turn around. Man, I'm faster than an MP's club tonight.
Hey, hiya, women. Look who's here. Dreamboat in.
Oh, are you Skinny Ennis? I've been dying to meet you.
Yeah, and I've been dying to meet you.
You look as though you overdid it.
Doggone, you can't talk to me like that. Lucky for you, you're a woman. You know what I'd do if I were a man? I mean, if you were a man.
No. What would you do if I were a man?
I'd make you get off my lap.
I can't believe you're a soldier.
I certainly am the darn good one. Why, when they blow reveille every morning, I'm the first one up.
How come?
He sleeps in the bugle.
Come on, fellas. Where are we going tonight?
Well, we haven't got much money, but I know how to have a lot of fun. Let's all stand around and watch a bottle of 7-Up fizz.
Gosh, Bob, you're treating these gals much better than the last one.
Now, let's put on the radio and dance.
I can't put on the radio. It's broken.
Well, how do you know it's broken?
Well, I put it on before, and it didn't play deep in the heart of Texas.
Come on, Rita, how about a quick dance? Oh, thanks for the lovely dance, Rita.
Yeah, thanks for the lovely dance, Rita.
Doggone it, Skinny. Every time I get a dance with a girl, must you ride on my back like a papoose?
Hey, but Bob, you have all the fun. Rita doesn't pay any attention to me.
Why, Skinny Ennis, you delightful little man. I'm going to give you a big kiss. Now, you kiss me.
Hey, stay right there, Rita. I'll be with you in just a minute.
Where are you going, Skin?
Down to the Red Cross to get my blood back.
Go ahead, Skinny, but be sure you take your eyedropper with you.
Oh, gosh, I bet you're glad to see me, Rita. After all, you've been carrying the torch for me for years.
Me? Carry the torch for you? Why, Bob, it would take you 3 hours to get a flicker out of a pinball machine.
You know, Rita, last night's dates were a bit much better than these shrimps.
Yes, Francis. Remember that big sergeant you were out with last night? Why, he'd make two of you.
Yeah, and when he grabbed me around the waist, I thought he was going to.
Oh, by the way, Rita, I brought you some candy.
Why, Bob, a stick of licorice.
Out of this studio. Oh, by the way, Rita, I bought you some candy.
Why, Bob, a stick of licorice.
No, Skinny Ennis just fell in the cold chute.
Bob, that settles it. You've been teasing Skinny so much that just to punish you, I'm really going to give him a great big kiss.
Shoot the heater to me, Rita.
Well, girls, here we are in the parlor. Who's going to sit in the love seat with me?
Not me.
Not me.
Doggone, looks like I'm elected again.
Boy, just think. Dates with two glamorous stars. Gosh, that'll be something to tell my grandchildren about.
Yeah, but why just tell them about it? You could just as well bring them along.
Say, the fellas back at camp will never believe we were out with Rita Hayworth and Francis Langford. We ought to have pictures taken.
I've got a camera. Does anybody know how to put a roll of film in?
Give it to me, Rita. You just pull this back, push this lever, and turn this little wheel. I know these things inside out. Now I press this button. Well, there it is, inside out.
Hey, look, Bob. Why don't we go over to Colonna's photography shop and have pictures taken? I know the address. Hey, come on, gang.
Well, here we are, Skin. This must be the place the sign on the door says Officer Photographer Colonna. Pictures of babies on ponies, $5. Babies on my lap, free.
Hey, come on, let's go in. Hey, looks empty. Hey, anybody in?
Be right with you in a moment, folks. I'm working on a negative in here.
I absolutely won't kiss you, Professor. No, no, no.
Rather positive negative.
Colonna, I bet you've got a girl in there with you.
Oh, yeah? What odds did it give me?
I'll give you 10-1 odds.
10-1 is pretty good odds. Should I take it, honey?
Listen, Colonna, come here at once. A friend of mine wants to see you.
Sorry, I'm very busy working out a difficult problem in aerial photography with some of the soldiers from Company B at Santa Ana.
But it's Rita Hayworth.
I only had 3 aces anyway.
Professor, we want our pictures taken with these girls. This is Rita Hayworth.
Come again?
Hayworth. Hayworth.
Really? How much would she give me for this mustache?
Professor, I think you're wonderful. Tell me, why do you have such a big mustache?
Saves buying a whisk broom.
Professor, I'm highly indignant.
Well, pleased to meet you. I know your brother, Haile Selassie. Now, if you folks will wait a few minutes, I've got to take a picture of this pigeon.
Gee, what makes that pigeon sit there so absolutely still, Colonna? What keeps it from flying away?
Fed it lead popcorn.
Lead popcorn? Why, that poor pigeon must be 5 times as heavy now. Look, it's trying to fly away.
What do you know? Shifted it a second.
Please hurry and take our pictures, Professor. Say, that's a peculiar-looking camera you have there.
Oh, this is really a remarkable camera. It photographs, develops, and prints your pictures in 3 seconds. Now, watch. I'll take a picture and show you. Ready?
Okay.
1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. I'm also very good at portrait painting. Okay, I'll use this other camera. Well, I guess I'm ready to take your picture.
Well, good. How's your focus?
I don't know. I haven't written home lately.
I'm highly indignant. You know, Professor, you drive me out of my mind.
Oh, let's walk and save our tires.
Kelowna, stop stalling and take our pictures.
Okay, now everybody smile because this one is going to be a flashlight photo. I think I better put in some more flashlight powder. And a little more, you know, can't have too much flashlight powder, you know.
Here goes the entire studio. Kelowna, careful. Careful with that. Careful with that flashlight powder. It's highly explosive.
Nonsense, this powder is perfectly safe. Anyway, I only use 50 pounds of it. Now, smile, Hope. Here goes.
I'm smiling.
Ah, you have a lovely smile, Mr. Hope. Come now, I'll help you pick it up off the floor.
Kelowna, stop acting silly. We want you to take a group picture of us. Are you or are you not going to take this group picture?
Yes, just to make sure we won't have any more unfortunate accidents, I won't use any flashlight powder. I'll just use a little nitroglycerin and some TNT.
Nitroglycerin and TNT. Do you know what you're doing?
Of course. I always take group pictures with this powder. Okay, I'm ready to... Pardon. I'm ready to take another group picture.
I'm sorry. I know what's coming. You know, I was just killing you.
I'm ready to take another group picture. Here goes. Be surprised how many groups I lose this way. Don't worry. Don't worry at all this time. Don't worry a bit.
The fourth blackout. Here we go.
This time I got a good picture of all of you.
Gee, I can hardly wait to get our picture to show to the boys at Santa Ana and prove I was out with Rita Hayworth. Hurry up, Professor.
Well, here's the picture, folks. All developed. I will now go back into my dark room.
Well, quick, let me see it. Hey, Professor, what happened? Rita Hayworth isn't in this picture at all. Where is she?
Guess where?
All thanks for the memories. You men who wear the wings, to you the nation clings. For through the face of you, the ace, we look to better things. And thank you so much. Thanks for the memories. As eagles you outfly to fortify the sky, the throbbing of your motors with our hearts will signify. We thank you so much. Folks, remember the bonds you are buying are helping to keep these boys flying, saving our way of living from dying. So let's pitch in. We're out to win.
Next week, folks, we'll be back at the same time with the same gang with us. Our guests will be Vera Vague. Good night, everybody.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.